certainly thankful for the opportunity I've appeared before you again in defense of the proposition that water baptism is a condition of pardon for alien sins as commanded by the Lord. Although Mr. Batts talked for 30 minutes, he talked about a number of scriptures that I introduced, yet he did not overthrow the proposition because of the fact that these scriptures still read just like they did before he started talking. Mr. Batts suggested, first of all, that he believed in water baptism by immersion in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and for the remission of sins. He said not to get remission, but because of remission. I'd like to read Acts 2 and verse 38 again, where the Apostle Peter told some murderers of the Son of God, when he was preaching, he'd been preaching their hearts, cried out saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if Mr. Batts believes that baptism is unto the remission of sins. Do you, Mr. Batts? Do you believe that baptism is unto the remission of sins? That's exactly what the Apostle Peter said. The Apostle Peter said to repent and be baptized unto the remission of sins. Mr. Batts says because of remission. Now, Mr. Batts is diabolically opposed to what the Apostle Peter said. Peter says that it's unto remission. Mr. Batts says it's because of remission. I'd like him to tell us when he comes before us, is baptism unto the remission of sins? Can you tell us, Mr. Batts? I challenge you to. I wonder if he'll tell us, is baptism unto the remission of sins? The Apostle Peter says it is. And then notice further that Mr. Batts said that John the Baptist introduced water baptism. Yes, that's right, Mr. Batts. But Mark 1 verse 4 says it was for the remission of sins. So even when John introduced water baptism, it was for the remission of sins. That doesn't help him any. He doesn't believe in what John taught either, obviously. Now, John taught baptism for the remission of sins. The Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized unto the remission of sins. That's what I believe. I agree with John. I agree with Peter. I disagree with Mr. Batts. And then he said that a sinner should hear, should believe, and there he is saved, and then should be baptized. Did you notice he made that statement? And yet did not produce any Bible proof. I wonder why, Mr. Batts. Did you notice how that he says that a sinner must hear, believe, and try to be saved, and then be baptized? No doubt you remember God's order as he stated it in our first speech, where God put baptism. In Mark 16, 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now that's God's order. I said in my first speech, this is God's order, baptism, then salvation. I charge my opponent with believing the very reverse of God's order. I said, if you believe salvation, then baptism, and he came up and he stated that very thing. So he's answered to what God said. Did you know what, Mr. Batts? These people do. These people can see that you've reversed God's order. God said, through Jesus, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So God said, baptism, then salvation. Mr. Batts said, salvation, and then baptism. And did you notice he left out repentance and piety? That didn't make you repentance. And then he said Jesus Christ was not baptized to make him a child of God. He was already a child of God and then baptized. Mr. Bass, you mean to imply by that Jesus Christ had been saved from sins like you say you were and then baptized in water? Do you want to talk about it? Do you wish you understood, Mr. Bass?
Now notice that. He said Jesus Christ was a child of God and then baptized. I want to know, was he saved from the sins like you were and then baptized, like you said you were? Now that doesn't fit this case at all, neighbors and friends. Because Jesus Christ had no sins to begin with to be saved from. When he came desiring baptism of John, and John in Matthew the 3rd chapter, John says that I need to be baptized today and come inside of me. And Jesus says, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Ordinarily, John baptized people for remission of sins. And Jesus Christ requested that he make an exception to the rule now and baptize him. Because he says, suffer it to be so now. John didn't want to baptize one who wasn't lost. And Jesus had to say, make an exception to the rule and do it anyway in my case. Mr. Bass knows the Bible says it, but I don't think he believes it. And then he says, we won't fellowship people who refuse to be baptized. He's talking about being baptized in water. I wonder why that he won't. Because he says they're saved from past sins. So here are people who are saved from past sins, he says, but he says he won't accept them in their fellowship. I wonder why that he won't do that. Unless they're baptized in water. Then he said that the opponent mentioned Romans 1:16. Said, I wish my opponent believed it. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Mr. Batt says that my opponent would have it to say, baptized. No, I wouldn't, Mr. Batt. I believe just exactly what the Apostle Paul said there, that the gospel is God's power to save. That one must believe the gospel. But Jesus Christ taught people that which they must believe in believing the gospel. In Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's what my Lord said. And Mr. Bass said it reminded him of the boy that had his outline and said, put strong emphasis here, point is weak. It may have reminded him of that. I don't know what it reminded him of, but it ought to have reminded him of his duty unto God Almighty. Because I've been reading God's book, Mr. Bass. He said, I noticed 7 times he mentioned Mark 16 and verse 16. Well, it still reads just like it did to stop, isn't it? It still says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My Lord said, and I'd certainly spend time well if I were to spend all of my time tonight in reading that verse over and over again. He wishes it wasn't in there, I'm afraid. I wonder if he thought his point was weak on faith. Is that time that he gave all of those verses that talks about our believing and being saved? Was the point a little weak on it, Mr. Bass? You want to emphasize it, John? Did you notice that? He brought in a lot of passages that mentioned the fact that we're saved by faith or through faith. Was the point weak? He said, that's why I emphasize these other passages. Is that why he emphasized those? You know, Romans 1:16 doesn't mention anything about repentance either, does it? You know, Romans 1:16 says, believe. The gospel of God's power of salvation to all them that believe, and doesn't mention repentance either. So if that rules out baptism, it rules out need repentance on the same basis. I say that it includes the totality of what God intended in his complete plan of salvation. Thank you, sir. And he said in Romans 6:3-4, he says that my opponent thinks that this is water baptism, but says now he knows it does not refer to water baptism. Says it's not water baptism, it's baptism into death. Now Romans 6:3-4 mentions the fact that we are buried in baptism. He says it's not water baptism. But that passage doesn't say so. That's his assumption. He didn't prove it. Now, he didn't prove it's not referring to water baptism. Now, here's a burial in baptism, and there's a resurrection. That's not so in water baptism, isn't it? Now, how can that be so in his so-called baptism into death that he never did explain what it is? Is our death and resurrection in this death, Mr. Batch? Now, this baptism incorporates a burial and a resurrection. Paul says we are buried in baptism. We are raised to walk in new life. That time it says that we're baptized into Christ. Do you mean to imply in Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6 that says we're baptized into Christ? That Christ is the element, like water is in some other passage? Is that what you're driving at? Or do you mean to imply that death is the element? Or is it faith? Now, he just comes up here and he makes some blanket statements that this is not water baptism. This is not spirit baptism, but he doesn't prove it. He assumes it, he asserts it, without any Bible proof. And he said in Romans 6:7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Certainly so, Mr. Batts, because he was a buried dead man and raised in Christ. So he was free from his sins. That's exactly what I'm teaching, because that's what Paul taught. The very verses you gave showed that one has to be buried, that didn't, in the Christ and raised. Dead. So he's a buried dead man. He is free from sin, certainly so, because he's been buried as the Lord commanded, and he's been raised. He's been promised out, he is free from his sins. And then he said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, that this doesn't refer to salvation from past sins, but refers to being saved from the wrath and the judgment of God. But I notice he didn't give a verse that said this is what that means, did he? Did you notice that? No, he didn't give a verse that said it. That's what he said. But now let's notice what the Lord said, Mr. Bass. No doubt you remember that on the trial of Christ,
it is not these things, but it is this. Didn't you see that chart, Mr. Pass?
You wanted to show it to me. Now let's notice here. The very first column is used not only to show what the issue is not, but it shows what the issue is and how it is. Is baptism in what is one of the conditions of salvation that God requires? Salvation from past sins, Mr. Bass. He says, I didn't show it. Was he asleep? How about?
And then he said, further proponent will quote one scripture where a sinner was baptized and came up a child of God. I conceived the feet and go home, or something to that effect. I gave several examples of it, but he would not accept them.
I'm told several passages over here where God placed baptism between the sinner and his blessings, which involved the mystery of sin, salvation, etc. I show what God says, friends. This is God's word,
not what Sutton believes about it, and surely not what Mr. Batch believes, but what the Bible says.
Now, I believe it, but it's not of my own making or devising what I mean.
He didn't produce that scripture where a child of God was ever baptized. Or he said Cornelius is a case of an act of the cause.
But I notice, friends, he did not read one verse that said Cornelius was saved
before he was baptized in water. If he could have found one, he would. He couldn't, and he can't, because it's not in that.
Acts 11:14 says, "Who shall fill the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?"
Cornelius had to hear words before he could be saved. But verse 15 says, Peter speaking, "As I began to speak,
the Holy Ghost fell on them as much at the beginning."
At the beginning of Peter's sermon, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. If they were saved then, they were saved before they heard words whereby they could be saved. And as they were saved without any faith, but Acts 15:79 says that the heart was purified by faith. Fly in, Mr. Batch. They had enough faith, obviously, that they obeyed Peter's command to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:48. I'd like Mr. Batch to tell us, when he comes before us, from what does baptism save us now? Would you mind, Dennis? I predict that he won't.
Then further, what passage teaches that water baptism is a burial or immersion?
He said it was in his first speech. He didn't show a passage that proves it. What passage proves that water baptism is immersion only? I challenge him to answer. I don't believe he will. He won't give the passage of scripture, I don't believe, that proves that water baptism is immersion only. I can, because I believe these passages that mention such.
Then what about this person who deliberately refuses to be baptized in water and dies in that condition? Will he be saved eternally, Mr. Batch? I want all of you to keep this in mind, that God's order is baptism, then salvation. Mr. Batch's order is salvation, then baptism. I'm affirming what God's book says, that baptism is unto the remission of sins.
Mr. Batch says it's because of remission.
Now, he's in conflict with what God says. I agree with what God says, because God says that if the baptism is unto remission, Mr. Batch says it's because of it. Jesus said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but Mr. Batch says that a person hears, he believes, he's then saved, and then ought to be baptized.
Now, who do you agree with, friends? Mr. Batch or Jesus?
I agree with Jesus. I believe what my Lord said. Now, my joint is weak, but I believe what my Lord said, Mr. Batch. I'm not ashamed of it. I wish he believed it. If he believed what my Lord said, we'd not be here tonight in this discussion opposing each other. We might be here together in a confirmation of what my Lord said. I wish he did believe it. So here's God's order, baptism, then salvation. Mr. Batch ordered salvation, then baptism. Tell us, is baptism unto remission of sins?
We're having a wonderful time, aren't we? Some of us believe and some of us believe not. That's where the problem is. Some believe and some believe not. That's what the Bible says in Acts 28. Some believe and some believe not. Now, he referred to the division of the Church of God at Corinth. Notice the letter was not only written to the Church of God, but also to the Church of Christ over there. Now, watch my fingers. Unto the Church of God at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called to be saints, with all them that in every place called on God, both theirs and ours. Is their God, Paul said, and our God. The letter was written directly to the church of God and indirectly to all others that are calling on God. Now, he says you're divided over there. You've got the church of God. Are you listening? And the church of Cephas, who also is called Peter. That's the largest church in the world today. It still exists. Big quarters in Rome. Still called St. Peter's. And next with Paul, that's the second largest church in the world. They have the Winston's Church of Funeral in that land today, the headquarters Church of Paul. Then the Church of Christ. It seemed the Corinthian letter only indicted the Catholic Church and the Church of Christ. He had to write the second letter to indict the Catholics. He said, they're transforming themselves as apostles of Christ, claiming apostolic succession. Well, the Church of Christ, they were going all out in water baptism. And Paul's, the Church of God preacher, said, God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach gospel. And he only baptized a few there. He said, for it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save. And you know, this Church of Christ people at Corinth were so far in baptism, they actually baptized their dead loved ones, thinking that would save them after they died. These are the ones who were rebuking, putting such strong emphasis on baptism. Now, he said, I didn't say anything about repentance, the word unto and for. Didn't I tell you plainly that we would discuss it when we had time? In Acts 2, Peter told that 3,000 Jews said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's the King James translation. One translation says, unto remission of sins. He said, I didn't say anything about repentance. Well, let me talk just a little bit about repentance. For Peter issued a twofold commandment here. The first one was repent, and after you repent, be baptized for remission of sin. Now, the Apostle Paul said, godly sorrow worketh repentance. The word sorrow is to cry, to weep, and to mourn. Now, you get up here and say, that said so-and-so. When I say something, you look in the Bible or the dictionary and you find it. Then Jesus said the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. You said, that's in the old Bible, Mr. Batts. Well, did you notice one of his charts, all of it almost was from the old Bible? It's all right for the Church of Christ preachers to use the old Bible, but don't anybody else use it. That's in the old Bible, preacher, and you know it, you say. But I don't care if it's written on the ice, friend, or in the sand, the Son of God said, that is repentance. You go back to the little book of Jonah. Jonah preached the word that God bid him preach, number one. Are you listening? Number two, they believed the preaching of Jonah. Number three, they turned every man from his evil way and called mightily upon God. So that's what repentance is. Well, the sorrow precedes that. Then you believe God's word, turn from your evil way, and call upon God. Now, what is the result of Bible repentance? The same Peter in the very next chapter, Acts 3:19, says, repent, be converted that your sins may be blotted out, remitted, or forgiven. Repent. All right. In repentance we receive remission of sin. Then he said, be baptized for the remission of sins. Now I'm going to give you the English definition, the Hebrew and the Greek of this word for. First, a little illustration to help you understand me better. I work for you for $100 a week. At the end of the week, you come around and say, Mr. Bass, here is your check for your week's work. I have worked, it is finished, you pay me for it. Now he says you have repented, your sins are remitted, be baptized for remission. Plain and simple. Now here's the English definition, and the King James translators are smart men. Whatever the Greek word was there, that they used the word for, I'll get to it later, these great translators used the word for. And the word for in English means as a result of, or because of. According to our English translation, the word for is repent and be baptized because your sins are remitted. As a result of remission of sins, be baptized. Now, the Hebrew word is key, K-E-E, meaning being assured, doubtless or without a doubt, truly, seeing or because. Then Peter was saying, repent and be baptized. Why? Assured your sins are remitted. Without a doubt they're remitted. Truly they are remitted. Seeing they are remitted. Because they are remitted, be baptized for the remission of sin. Here's the Greek word used in the word for is G-A-R, gar. Means no doubt. Because, truly, seeing, then repent and be baptized because, without a doubt, seeing, truly, knowing your sins are remitted. When was it remitted? In repentance. Now be baptized, seeing that they are remitted. You have no doubt. Because of, indeed, truly, verily. Now, this word for in Acts 2:38 is translated from the Greek word E-I-S. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance gives the pronunciation of this word ice. I-C-E. Ice. Then there's the book. You can look at it if you want to after service. It means as, at the place, as results, and used backward. The very word backward is there in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance under the word ice. Now he said, the one translation uses the word unto, and repeated Mr. Bass's unto forward and backward. Well, the scriptures teaches this both forward and backward. So on to the structure of the phrase in which it's used. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, the word is unto, from the original Greek ice. I indeed baptize you with water, ice, repentance, or unto, or for, repentance. Now, did John baptize people so they could repent? No. He rebuked people that came to him that wanted to be baptized before repentance. But here the word is used pointing backward. When they came to be baptized with John, he rebuked them and said, repent and then truth of your repentance. But yet John, the great prophet that Jesus said, one of the greatest ever born of woman, said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, he said the word unto is always forward, but here John's using it backward. He didn't baptize them solely to repent. They repented so he could baptize them. But yet he used this phrase, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. They had repented. They had remission of sins. And he baptized them for it. Now there on the day of Pentecost, these 3,000 people that Peter was preaching to, I want to prove to you, friend, that they were saved and shouted about it and joined the church that same day. But I cannot prove, neither can my opponent prove, that they were baptized that day. Neither can you. Now he said, they of the 3,000, they that gladly, don't overlook the word gladly, received the word, were baptized. The word were suggests the time element. It's indefinite. It didn't say when. But it said the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 several. And the word add means to join. And the word join means to add. 3,000 joined the church that day. 3,000 shouted that day. 3,000 received the word of God that day. And this Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, a Gentile, not even present, wrote it years after, referred back to it, said they were baptized. They may have been baptized that day, that night, the next day, the next week, the next month, I don't know where, neither does my opponent. And the slogan of the Church of Christ is, we're silent where the Bible is silent, speak where the Bible speaks. He puts strong emphasis on Paul's conversion. If you'll notice Acts, the 9th chapter, but also the 22nd chapter, there seemed to be a contradiction there because so many are asking the question. Now, the 9th chapter is an actual write-up of his experience. In the 22nd chapter, Paul merely alludes to his conversion in a testimony in a courthouse. Now, you have been told by many that God won't hear a sinner pray, and Paul was still a sinner until he was baptized, but he prayed, and God heard his prayer, and told another man to go over there and join with him. Amen. And when Ananias came in, he said, the Lord that appeared to you in the way sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now he said, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you notice, I believe you found a comma there. Baptized, then it goes on, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The word calling, I-N-G, suggests an indefinite time period. In other words, keep on calling on God until your sins are washed away. That's what he was saying. And here is Philip's translation. Wash away your sins as you call upon the Lord. Amplified verse says, wash away your sins by calling on the name of the Lord. It corresponds with Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Have you ever heard a Church of Christ preacher in your life use Acts 2:21? whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul to the Gentile quoted before Balaam in Romans 10 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. How can the call on him in whom we've not heard? How can he hear without a preacher? The preacher preached the word of God. The sinner will hear the word of God. The sinner will believe the word of God. And you call on God and God will save him. And then he is to follow the Lord in water baptism. Now he said, what does baptism save you from? He might as well ask me, what does the Lord's Supper save you from? Or any other commandment of the Bible. I told you over and over, it saves you from the wrath and the judgment to come. And I said that water baptism saving you from the wrath to come is something that you keep on believing all the gospel. Until the end, he saved from the wrath to come. I said, no, if water saved him from judgment, not from sin, then I said, the like figure landed baptism that also now saved us. He said, why wouldn't I receive somebody in the church if they were saved and wouldn't be baptized? Simply because they're backslide if they don't be baptized. That's the reason why. Not only that, but anything else the Bible teaches. Now the Bible teaches the Lord's Supper, and in the same building, in the same service, the same preacher introduced the Lord's Supper, introduced feet washing, and if you don't do both, it's a sin to do one without the other. He does not believe that, but yet it's the gospel. Now he keeps on saying, he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not what, brother? So, he said, preach the gospel. He that believeth not the gospel shall be damned. And what is the gospel? Jesus, he wants you to think it started at Jerusalem, Pentecost, but Jesus Christ said the gospel, the law of the prophets were unto John. Since then the gospel is preached. Mark 1 said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as spoken by the prophets, I send my messenger before the face. Amen. So that's the gospel. Now, if I didn't misunderstand my opponent, I'd hate to think he would deliberately or any other cause say that Cornelius was not saved before water baptism. Before it's proving it, brother, about his being baptized, you can't even prove that he was ever baptized. The Bible just said Peter commanded him to be baptized, and I believe he was. But he can't prove that he was. Because God told somebody to do something, no sign that did it. I believe he was. But I couldn't prove it, neither can he. But there's one thing I do know. That he was a child of God, and I quoted where Peter was. Oh, yes. He said, how could he believe without hearing? Brother, did you ever notice in Peter's sermon, Peter said, this word ye know was published throughout all Judea and region round about. Peter said, why, Cornelius, you've heard this word, you know about it. It's been published, and you know it. Now, this word, he'll tell these words. Listen, friends, in Acts 11 and 14, he'll tell thee words, not deeds, words, whereby you and your house will be saved. See? Words, not deeds. The words, the powers of the word. If you read the 15th chapter of Acts, about the 7th verse, Peter said these words, we believe, we Jews and apostles, believe we shall be saved even as they. And Peter had been saved from sin for years. Household of Cornelius has been saved for years and been baptized, no doubt, and had the Holy Ghost. And Peter still saying, we believe they shall be saved. And they shall be if they keep the words that God spoke to them. And I don't care how long you've been saved, how many times you've been baptized, if you don't keep on believing the gospel, you're going to be lost. And one man asked me one time if I had obeyed the gospel. I said, no, and neither have you. Nobody has ever obeyed the gospel. We're in the process of obeying it.